Sound good?
Do it.
All right, man. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to CJ Evolution for Sunday, August 7th, 2016. I'm Pat Fitzgibbons. This is episode 22, and today we have a very special guest on. His name's Mark Marty. He's a good friend of mine. Mark is a police officer in California, 18-year veteran. He's also part of a great website called lawenforcement.social, and he's going to talk to us about various law enforcement issues and social media issues and how it affects law enforcement. So, Mark, welcome, buddy. Thank you for being here on this Sunday.
Thanks, Pat. I'm glad to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit of who you are, a little bio, where you work, and all that good stuff?
Sure. Let me put my phone on vibrate. Rookie move right there. So you don't hear that. So like you said, Pat, I've been on the job 18 years, and I work for an agency named Montebello Police Department, and we're in Southern California. And our agency, our city is about 8.2 square miles. We have 75 officers. We don't actually have that many currently, but being the training sergeant and hiring guy, I'm working on getting our numbers up. So currently I'm a sergeant. I've been a sergeant about 5 years. I am the training sergeant, and I am responsible for the recruitment, hiring, and all the training that the officers go through, as well as all social media that the department puts out. So, I've worked a variety of assignments throughout my career. I think the funnest I worked was actually when I worked dope. I worked undercover dope for about 6 years and was a task force officer with a three-letter agency and got to go around the United States and be a Fed, half a Fed, as I like to refer it as, and had some fun doing that. And so I got a lot of life experience doing that. So, but now I'm inside. We talk about social media, Pat, and, you're part of Law Enforcement Social, and we've done several shows together in the past, and I'm very passionate about social media. So, I created the social media program for our agency almost 2 years ago, I think now, and we are going strong. We post to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and what am I leaving out? And Nextdoor. So I'm pretty much the only one who's posting at this time. My captain does do some posts every once in a while, but we try to stay active and really just want to engage with our community with anything that's going on in our agency or within the city. So
now, how important do you think, Mark? And I know you and I have talked about this before. I mean, but for people who are listening, how important is social media for law enforcement? I mean, what's your take on that? I mean, I know I think it's important, but what's your take on it?
Yeah, sure. So it's huge. It's not just important, in my opinion. It's huge. And I say this because I'm sure, Pat, you guys, going through some of the same stuff that we do over here. We are doing – law enforcement agencies now are doing more with less. And so we got rid of our crime prevention unit due to budget cuts years ago. And the problem with that is we lost our interaction with our community. We're not out there, doing neighborhood watch meetings and other things like that. And we try to get involved with them as much as we can, but it's not working. And on top of that, the other issue is the media. We want to become our own media. And so I'll get to that here in a minute. But going back to the community portion, I found that we get most of our interaction with our community on Facebook. And it's because of Facebook that we've developed what I like to refer to as a digital relationship with our community. And don't get me wrong, we don't simply engage them on social, but mm-hmm. we engage them on social to let them know what activities we've got going on, what's coming up, and where we're going to be. And then we go meet them in person and talk mm-hmm. about what we need to talk about. So it's been great. I mean, it's really, Pat, it's social media in general has evolved tremendously. And, mm-hmm. just about every business that's out there, if they're not using it, they should be. And it's really free advertisement. And so with that respect of using it as for community engagement, it's huge. And I'll give you an example. Yeah. We had a national night out on this past Tuesday. And prior to this – do you guys have national night out, Pat, in Colorado? Right.
Yeah, we do. Okay. We do, yes.
And so we had – oh, man, what was it? Probably close to 650 people. At our event, and prior to the event, I did a lot of posting on social media regarding the event leading up to it. We talked about the different food vendors we were going to be, the different booths that were going to be there, the different attractions for the kids. And so I did a really good job of pushing it out this year. And our turnout was amazing. It was our city council members and our chief were just amazed. And my chief's been at our agency now for a little over 5 years. And he said that it's the biggest police, activity that we've had since he's been there. And he said it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I got the mayor sending me messages and telling me the same thing. So it,
awesome.
Social media was a big part of that.
Sure.
So, and if it wasn't for that, there's no way we would have got that interaction.
Yeah. I just think that there's just an aversion out there with a lot of law enforcement that, that they're just hesitant to use it. And I agree with you. I mean, obviously that I think it's just going to be bigger and bigger and bigger in the future. And you guys, you're in front of it right now.
Sure.
With like you and other people who do a bunch of social media for their department. We don't do, I think I've told you this before, we don't do a lot of social media, which always shocked me. I mean, maybe it's just because of the manpower. We've gone through some, people leaving here and there. But I'm with you. And I think every agency should be out there, using social media. I mean, that doesn't solve all your problems, but it definitely, can get messages out, especially in this time and, this day and age where I think, we need to do more community policing in the wake of all this stuff going on in the, in the country. So, that's great, dude. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, absolutely. And that leads into my second point on why I think we need social media. And that's because of the media themselves. We all know that the media reports what they want to. And sometimes it's accurate, sometimes it isn't. And sometimes they leave some things out. I think overall, I think the media does a good job. But when it comes to us, sometimes they report what they think their people want to hear. Now, sure. We went away. We don't do press releases anymore. We do news releases. And I stress that to all my supervisors that put them out because they're not press releases. They're news releases. And we release them first on our social media. And then actually that's where where the actual media will come and get our information. And if they want the actual printed version, then we will email that to them. But back in the day, we used to send out a mass email to all the media regarding, hey, this is what's going on in Montebello, or, we had this situation. Excuse me. We don't do that anymore. There are several reporters that I have a good relationship with that will actually reach out to me on social. So they'll tweet me or they'll send me a message and say, hey, is something going on here? What do you guys got? And I'll tell them, hey, yes, we got something going on here. Give me about 30 minutes, whatever, and I'll push it out. So what I like and what I think we need to do a better job of, and this goes for most agencies, especially now with the live streaming and with Facebook Live and sure. with all the other platforms that you have out there to stream. It's huge. And so you can actually record your own stuff or, be out there live just like a reporter would. And so if we're the first people to report the information on a specific incident, I'm pretty confident that if the incident's occurring at our place and we're putting that info out, you're going to get the correct information because it's coming sure. straight from the source. Whereas the media may only give you portions of it. And it also allows us, it gives us the opportunity to get ahead of something. So let's say, sure. Officers shot a guy, right? And killed him, or maybe they didn't kill him, but they just shot him. And all of a sudden, police shoot man, right? Mm-hmm. Or police shoot black man, or whatever the case is. And it's like, oh God, they just shot another one. Okay, but you're not telling the whole story. How about police shoot man that had a gun and attempted to kill a police officer, or something like that?
Sure.
We don't get that all the time from the media. So this sure. gives us the opportunity to get that message out and let people know, look, this is what's going on. And if we need to do a better job of this, and we need to do a better job of getting that information to the people to let them know, because then we get ahead of the problem. Get ahead of the incident before it actually becomes a problem. Because sometimes the media are the ones that create the problem.
And it's good to have really good points. And it's good to have solid policies in place, too. I mean, as far as social media, the departments have to have good policy and procedure regarding the usage of social media, correct? Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. With my agency, when I told the chief, I said, hey, chief, I want to bring social media. He says, no, you're crazy. And, of course, I knew that was going to be his response. And, he's not a very technically or technologically savvy individual, and he'll, and he'll tell you that. And so he says, my chief's that guy that don't just come to him and tell him you want something, tell him why you want it, and then show him reasons why we should have it. You know, have proof, have information to back up why you want to do what you do. So I did that. So I went out and I surveyed what agencies were doing, and you know, I, with Mike Byers, you know, our buddy from Law Enforcement Not Social, I went to him and got policies, and I answered my chief's biggest question. One of the biggest questions was, how do we monitor 24/7? What if somebody goes on there and social and they say they want to kill themselves or do something like that?
Sure, yeah.
So I answered those questions. I said, well, look, there is not an agency out there that monitors 24/7, even the big agencies like the Sheriff's Department. They monitor social media, but they monitor really for events that are taking place. And actually, I take that back. I believe LA County Sheriff's now, you know, Tony, started that bureau over there, and they do have their media personnel on 24 hours a day as PIOs and other things to do monitoring stuff. But an agency like mine, and I'm sure probably like yours, we're too small to do that. Yeah, and so I literally monitor 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when I can, and sometimes I can't. And so, but it's important that, you know, you have these policies in place, like we were talking about, and it says, hey, we don't monitor 24 hours a day. If you have an emergency, you don't report it on social. If you have an emergency, you dial 911. You know, if you have a general question, you know, that we might be able to help you assist you with, and you send that to us on Facebook or something, then we'd be happy to answer or direct you to that right person. So once I was able to answer these questions for my chief, he couldn't say no, really, and he was happy with it. And I got to be honest, he's been very pleased with the outcome now. And he still doesn't really know what goes on, but, you know, he's logged in, he sees stuff, and he's like, hey, I saw this, and I thought this was cool. And he'll even come up with some really good ideas sometimes. Hey, I saw this picture, or somebody was talking about this, and why don't we do something like this? And so we jump on it and we do it. And so I'm very fortunate that I have a lot of support from my agency and the personnel there. And so, you know, we're able to just do a good job with what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's the key in everything is having the support from your chain of command. If you don't have that, or, you know, then it's done before it even begins.
Absolutely.
You know, but tell us a little bit about lawenforcement.social.
Sure.
Mark, for people who don't know, and kind of direct them and
okay,
what you guys do over there.
Yeah, no problem. So lawenforcement.social, believe it or not, is actually the web address. So for those of you that want to check it out, it's not lawenforcementsocial.com. It's literally, you'll type in lawenforcement.social. So social takes the place of the .com. That's all Mike Byers is doing. So my buddy, our buddy Mike Byers works for Zuster PD. He's a genius when it comes to a lot of this stuff, and he's taught us all a lot of info. And so he developed a website, and what the website is for, it's basically a home base for resources for what we refer to as LESM, Law Enforcement Social Media. So any public safety professional that posts on social media, whether it be a police agency, a sheriff's agency, fire department, Southern California Edison, the Forestry Service, any one of those, it's Law Enforcement Not Social is a resource for them to go to learn how to the best practices for posting to social media. And because there really isn't a book out there that says this is how you post to law enforcement, you know, post social media for law enforcement. But there are several books and a bunch of different information out there on how to post to social media. So what we do at lawenforcement.social is we take social media that's for the average Joe or the average business, and we teach you how to take that and use it as in LESM. And so we have a podcast, Pat, that you know, and you've been a part of, and the podcast, you can go to iTunes, and it's a Law Enforcement Social Media Podcast. We actually have it on all platforms, so if you're an Android guy or gal, you can go to Stitcher and subscribe to it on Stitcher, and we believe we're in the Google Store now that they started their stuff. But in those podcasts, our podcasts average about an hour. I think we have about 56 episodes or so.
Yeah, and a lot of them.
Yeah, and so we've been going at it pretty strong for a little over a year now. And each episode is something unique. Some of the older episodes may not be even information that's current to what's going on today with social, but you may learn some stuff. So you can go to our website. You can subscribe to the newsletter. We don't push it out very often because we know that people don't like to get unwanted emails. So if you get an email from us and you if you subscribe and get an email from us, it's probably because we're pushing out some important info that we think you should know. And so we just stay up with all the latest trends. And so, cool. You know, for example, the big thing right now, actually Mike and I are going to record probably after I get off with you, Pat, or actually maybe Wednesday, I'm not sure. But we're going to record a show on Instagram and Instagram stories, which is huge. That's probably the biggest story right now that's going on for social media, because it's basically Snapchat now integrated into Instagram, or I'm sorry, Instagram. Yeah. Embedded.
Well, I thought it was Pokemon Go. I thought that was the big story.
It was until the Instagram stories came out. So, and you know what? It's funny, Pat, you bring up Pokemon Go and we even teach you how to use that to your advantage. And I'll tell you what we did. So for National Night Out, I don't play Pokemon Go, but I did download it that day because I had to create what's called a lure party. And what that is, you lure.
That just sounds creepy.
Yeah,
a lure
it does.
Party.
You're absolutely right. Especially coming from a police officer, right?
Yeah.
So you have this lure party and you lure people to our park where we had our event, because our park already has these, like, what they call gyms, battle gyms, where you can learn how to fight for Pokemon Go. Obviously virtual battle gyms. And then there's different areas where people go to get their Pokeballs that they use to kill their Pokemon and their Pidgeys and all that other weird stuff. I mean, you know me, Pat. Yes, technologically savvy as I am not into Pokemon Go. I think it's a genius idea, but I don't
use it. It's a genius idea.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I said, so what small businesses are doing, they're creating lures. And so they're, for example, let's say a 7-Eleven or an ice cream shop are saying, come over here and here's your new gym. You can come into the ice cream store and you can fight here. Why are they doing this? Because what are you going to do when you're in an ice cream store? You're going to buy ice cream, yeah. Right? Or you're going to buy soda or water or something. And so
that's great marketing.
Yeah, it's relatively cheap. I think you pay like a little over $100 for a lure party and you get people there. So we did that. And what I was fortunate we didn't have to do is that a bunch of our explorers play it. And I guess you can create lures, or you save points and you get them. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but so we had our explorers do the lure party and it brought more people. So we used that to our advantage. And so, like I said, that's one good example of taking just a game and using it in social to our advantage.
Well, and I was talking to some guys I work with a couple weeks ago, and you mentioned Snapchat, and I'm not probably as proficient as you or other people on it, but it's amazing how people don't realize that, you know, like you said, you can leverage these different platforms to, you know, it's not just for taking selfies and pushing stuff out. I mean, you can do some good stuff with the social media, you know, and these different platforms out there. And I didn't know anything about, you know, what you were just talking about with doing that kind of luring and bringing people in, but it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that's a great idea.
Well, and just let me add one more thing real quick regarding Snapchat. So our friend, Arlen Castillo, who works at El Monte PD, she's taken Snapchat to a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah. I watch her snaps all the time.
Yeah, if any of you are on Snapchat that are listening and you'd like to follow her, check her out. I think you can just do a search for Arlen or Officer – let me look it up.
Castillo.
Is it Officer Castillo? I want to make sure you get
the name. Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, do a search for Officer Castillo, and her snaps are amazing. And so what she does is she has a partner. So most of the time she works graveyards and they have two-man cars. So what she does is she is in the passenger seat, and she's basically – you're basically on a virtual ride-along with her. And she'll ask people questions, and then she'll answer police-related questions. And, you know, she's done such an amazing job with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to start getting more involved in Snapchat. I'm on Anchor a lot. You know that.
Yes.
I like Anchor. And for those of you who don't know, Anchor is like Twitter, except it's just WAV files.
Yeah.
So, there's so many different platforms.
Yeah. And you know, I still love Anchor. I think it's great. And I think you're doing a great job using it. It's just too much for me. You know, I don't even, to be honest, I'm not even on Snapchat that much. I'm on Snapchat to post sometimes and then to see what's going on. But I'm not really doing stories like Mike is. So
I haven't seen – well, Mike's on there, I think, 23 hours a day.
Yeah, I think it's more like 25 hours a day. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen you on there a while. If you don't mind, let's shift gears a little bit. What do you – you know, we were talking about a little bit about this before, you know, about kind of the tone in, you know, the environment of law enforcement right now. I mean, a lot of stuff happening. I think there was another shooting shooting in Chicago recently.
Yes.
Another guy got shot who was in custody. And I mean, it's just crazy, man. I mean, we talked about this again, before we started recording, and Yeah, I mean, it's just a weird kind of environment that we're in, and I know you said earlier that it's not really affecting your department that much. It's not really affecting mine, but there's so many other departments out there that are affected by, you know, kind of this anti-police sentiment. I still think the majority of people out there support law enforcement, but it's just, you know, anytime something happens, man, it's that brace for whatever's going to happen, you know, with riots or anything else. So I don't know what your take is on that. I know we haven't talked in a while about that. So,
so, you know, you repeated the statement that I made about not affecting our agency. And actually I got to recant that, because now that I think about it, it affects us individually, maybe mm-hmm. not as an agency as a whole, because we're very, very fortunate that I'd say 98% of our community, if not maybe 100, really, really supports us and is behind us. But I know individually it affects us all. And it's tough for everyone. And it's unfortunate, the things that are going on. But the biggest problem, in my opinion, is social media.
Yeah.
Because well, let's talk about the shooting where that lady live streamed shortly after the shooting.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You talk about the guy in the seat.
Yes.
Seat right
yes.
next to
was
her boyfriend.
Was that Louisiana or where was that at?
I think it. Yeah. It was. No. I think it was. I can't.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to say it was Baltimore, but I thought it was. Maybe you're right. Maybe it was Louisiana.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure your listeners know which one we're talking about. Now the problem with that is, and you and I know this, Pat, because we're cops and because we're trained and we know this. She's saying a bunch of different things. Well, what we never saw, what we never see, is what took place before she started recording.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of friends that say, oh my God, did you see that video? What do you think? Well, I don't like to give my opinions on a shooting if I'm not there and I'm not involved, because I don't know what was going through the officer's head.
Sure.
I don't know what took place. And so I don't want to get on a soapbox, but I think the problem that we have is that the media or that social media allows people now to just report stuff. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't bad cops out there. You and I absolutely know that there are bad apples, just in, like in any profession. But the majority of us, we're good people, and we signed on because we want to do the right thing. And so we need people to give us the benefit of the doubt. You know, I trust that we go out there every day and put that badge on and put that gun on, that we're going to do the right thing. And then if we shoot somebody or if we hit somebody with our stick – or we taser somebody or whatever it is, that we do it because it's in protection of either our life or someone else out there, and we're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I ask people just have an open mind. I don't expect everyone to agree with everything we do, but the problem is people don't understand. They don't have the same mindset as us, and it's unfortunate that social media is really hurting us.
Well, I don't think, you know, and people aren't, you know, they get what they know of law enforcement off movies and television shows.
Right.
They don't know a lot of, you know, like you said about, you know, nobody goes out there and you don't, Mark, and I don't, and every cop I know doesn't go out there every day and hope they get into some sort of deadly force encounter or some sort of use of force. I mean, it just doesn't. I'm sure they're, like you said, they're bad apples. I agree. But the overwhelming majority of cops are out there doing the right thing. I don't care if they're black, white, you know, whatever. They're doing the right thing. And I always say, you know, it starts from the top, you know, with the anti-police sentiment. I think there's been a lot of rhetoric that has been going on. And I know when we were doing blabs and shows before, man, you'd see people come on to some of the rooms we were in and just kind of blast us and stuff like that. And I guess you're always going to get that. But, yeah, I mean, I just hope, you know, it changes in the future. And I think we had a discussion about this a couple of weeks ago, about this is the time where, you know, we just don't, as law enforcement, we don't retreat, you know, back into a shell. We got to get out there. And like you guys are doing with National Night Out and all kinds of other stuff, get out there and be more active in the community.
Yeah. So, and you know, I think the other thing that I'd like to mention is that I'm not simply saying that social media is the only reason why we're getting a bad rap. We hurt ourselves as well. And it's important, when I talked about how we need to be our own media and get the information out, we need to get the proper information out to people. I'm trying to remember what shoot. There was a recent shooting, and I want to say it was Louisiana, and it was a burglary suspect, I'd say at a business. And the coppers get there, and I'm not sure all the details, but I believe they get inside, they engage this guy, he's got a gun, they shoot him. And I'm not sure if he died or not. Well, the sheriff that did the news conference did an amazing job because he comes out there and he tells people, listen, and he has a gun on the table and he shows the gun. He says, see this gun right here? This is the gun that the guy you're calling a victim pulled out and aimed and pointed at my officer. And thank God my officer did not die or did not get shot because my officer shot him. And you want to know why? Because his gun jammed. But then he goes on to say that he's sick and tired of the media calling these suspects, these bad guys, calling them victims. And he tells them, the police, my officer was the victim in this case. This guy's, I mean, it's phenomenal. And if we all need to embrace that as police agencies, because, you know, I think sometimes we just kind of sit back and let the media do their thing and we don't combat it. You know, we don't challenge them. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And I agree. And just, you know, just for those of you who might listen to later on, I mean, it's not just, you know, Mark made a good point about, you know, having a gun, but it's other weapons too. I mean, you mean it doesn't necessarily have to be a firearm that, you know, somebody pulls on a cop. And, you know, I mean, every situation is different. No two incidents are the same. And it's, like I said, it's always easy to sit, you know, like when I teach, I told you, Mark, before I teach, you know, a bunch of, you know, students and criminal justice students. And I always tell them, you know, I mean, think of a football game and think of how many replays are shown through a football game. You get every angle. Was the foot in? Was it out?
Sure.
And how much time do they spend analyzing that? And you don't see any of that. You see very little of that in a police officer shooting. And are there bad shootings out there? Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, there are. And I feel bad for the victims and the officers involved. But I think the overwhelming majority are probably good shootings, and they don't have the benefit of the NFL technology and the,
right.
and the cameras right. and stuff
I
like
mean,
that.
I mean, we're just finally wearing body cams, but you're right. We don't have aerial cams that follow us around.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's crazy. So it's going to be interesting. I always think about what it's going to be like, man, in another, you know, couple of years with, you know, I wonder what they're going to come up with as far as less lethal technology and stuff like that. And, you know, I know, you know, they're talking about a lot of, you know, reform on lethal force as far as, you know, law enforcement. I don't know if you guys are hearing the same thing probably in California. I mean, they're talking about all kinds of, you know, additional training and stuff. And law enforcement, I mean, for everybody, you know, we're always training.
Sure.
But, you know, now there's an issue of, you know, kind of revisiting, you know, the lethal force topic. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't think we've ever had a issue with it, but apparently now it's a huge issue.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to be a cop these days. It really is.
I know it is. And we talked about, you know, kind of, we've gone through, we've lost some officers, you know, in the last year. And I think some of them have gotten out of it. Like we talked about before, some of them are retiring like me, and others are just getting out of it, you know, because they don't want to do it anymore. I think some of the recruits that I've talked to, or some of the people that were thinking about getting in law enforcement, they've kind of changed their mind due to, you know, what's going on in the country and some of the anti-police sentiment. And that's unfortunate because I think, you know, the overwhelming majority of people are pro-cop. At least I think. Maybe I'm just ignorant.
No, I mean, I agree with you, Pat. But, you know, you mentioned something earlier, and I think we might have probably talked about this off air, but you mentioned how the dynamics of being a police officer, that people, they believe that what they see on TV, in movies, oh, that's cool, I want to do that. Well, I'll tell you what, I watch, you know, all the different CSIs, and they get in a shooting at least two or three times every episode.
Yeah.
Well, that's not real life. You know, we don't
yeah,
shoot people
exactly.
every day, and yeah. we don't, you know, we don't get to dress cool a lot of times because most of the time we're in uniform, and, you know, it's it's what you see on TV really isn't what's going on. And
yeah,
and my suggestion to people would be, if you're interested in the law enforcement field, is go to your local police agency and volunteer. And if you're of age, become a police explorer. But if you're,
or do a ride-along.
Yeah,
do ride-along.
Yeah, exactly. Volunteer, get involved, go on ride-alongs. Most agencies will let you. And see, then you get to see firsthand what it's about. And then that might help you decide, oh, wow, ooh, I really don't want to do this. Or, hey, yeah, this is what I really want to do. You really need to do your homework nowadays.
Yeah, I think the majority of people, for those people who don't know, the majority of officers out there don't draw their weapons,
right.
you know, throughout their whole career. They might do it to clear a house or something, but as far as like getting into a use of force where they're using their weapon, most police officers go their entire career Well, maybe it's out there. Maybe it's different for you guys out in the Wild West out in California.
Well, Mark, I will say we probably do pull our guns several times a shift. But no, I agree with you with the fact that a lot of coppers will go through their 30-year or 20-year career without shooting anybody. And I mean, and really, that's what we all hope for. You know, is that we don't have to do that. The last thing we want to do is take someone's life.
Yeah.
All we want someone to do is submit. If they're, you know, we need to arrest you, then just do what we tell you. Let us put handcuffs on you, and you know, let the judge sort it out.
Exactly. Well, Mark, I know you gotta run, brother. I appreciate you coming on, and again, big shout out to you and Mike and lawenforcement.social, and for everybody who wants to check out the shows, they're on Facebook every Wednesday, right, brother?
Yeah. So we're starting a new show, and we're actually going to be putting it out on a platform called huzza.io. But you probably won't remember that. So if you want, go to lawenforcement.social. And you can get all the details there. It'll be 8 p.m. Wednesday nights is live. But we will have replays. But if you want to watch it there. If you do check us out, make sure you head on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/le.social. Or just search Law Enforcement Social. You'll find us. And we stream it live to our Facebook page. So if you want to watch it live while we're recording, please do. And if you have questions, leave questions in the comment. And if you end up watching this and you are a listener and you found out about us from CJ Evolution Podcast, please let us know. I'd love to tell Pat that some of his followers are following us.
So, well, I appreciate it, Mark. Yeah. And for those of the listeners out there, do me a favor. If you can, head over to iTunes, leave me a review, good, bad. I'd love to hear from you. And Mark, once again, brother, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And I will talk to you soon, man. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks, Pat. You too. It was fun. Right. Let's do it again.
We need to. Okay. All right, brother.
Bye, bro.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.